Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a great spotlight on the Southwest today. I am Gina Murphy Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. And I'd like to thank the sponsor of our show today, Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG. Their programs and services support regional planning efforts to enhance mobility, sustainability, and livability in all of our communities. And their very important mission is to actually address regional issues through cooperative efforts and pooled resources, in other words, getting people to work together, and to provide accurate, relevant data that leads to effective regional planning decisions. And when you're in a region like ours that is growing and changing, it is a big job. And they are doing a great one at so many levels. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is something they do quite well, which is work to reduce CO2 emissions by advocating in every way possible how and why to share your ride. So get ready. Joining me in studio for the next 30 minutes to talk about just that is Janine Sullivan. Janine is the Pima Association of Governments Outreach Coordinator for the Travel Reduction Program, which we might refer to as the TRP in the show. She serves in a role of advocacy and client relations for businesses and organizations throughout Pima County. Janine, thanks so much for being here, and welcome to Mrs. Green's World.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's going to be fun. So PAG actually manages a mandated travel reduction program, which I learned about because of my role as Mrs. Green. What is that program? What is the travel reduction mandate? And why is it so important to our community and specifically to the planet? It matters.
That's a really great question. A lot of people ask that question, and so let me help give some context around it.
Perfect.
So the first thing I would like to point out is the travel reduction program came about really to help us become more in attainment with air quality standards. And those air quality standards are something that all of the jurisdictions come together and collaborate around this particular program to help us to be in attainment of those standards. And those standards come from the Federal Clean Air Act. And the program is really put in place in order for the jurisdictions to be able to prepare approvable plans that allow for some reasonably attainable control measures for us to be able to actually attain those standards. And so what happens is that employers that have more than 100 full-time equivalent employees, they are required to participate in the program. If an employer has less than 100 full-time equivalent employees, they can elect or volunteer, if you will, to be a part of that program. And so when we look at the program, we're actually encouraging people to use different types of alternative modes, including active modes of transportation, such as biking and walking to work. And through that, we're able to help attain those air quality standards. And the reason why that's important is because we recognize that air pollution is derived mainly from motor vehicle usage. And so when we think about the landscape of Pima County and all of the great people that live here, and they're making their commute trips to work, every single occupancy vehicle plays a heavy role in keeping us at our air quality standards or are keeping us away from those air quality standards. So when we can encourage people to carpool together or vanpool together, we're taking vehicles essentially off the road. So we're improving air quality just through that. But also when we're encouraging people to consider an alternative mode, such as cycling to work, whether it be their entire commute trip or part of it, we're furthering that initiative in terms of meeting those air quality standards. And so right now for Pima County, we're at 97% of reaching our EPA health standard. And so when you ask me why is it important, I think it's important for people to recognize that when we don't meet that standard, it can impact future economic growth, and it also can necessitate stricter requirements for local businesses and vehicle inspections. So right now, as I shared, motor vehicles are a major source of the components that combine to form things that impact our ozone, so like volatile organic compounds and oxides of nitrogen. And of course, more people, if they want to know more information about that, people can go to pimacleanair.com and check that information out.
There's a lot of good resources out there. And one of the things that you said, I mean, and we don't have to spend time on this, but the shocking thing to me, why do it, is there is a Pima County Health Department report that I found out about because of my relationship with Tucson Medical Center and Russet Southwest, which is an HVAC company, about the number of people that actually, it's upper respiratory disease is the third cause of fatalities in Pima County. So when you're talking about all these initiatives, they lead to the quality of life and our health. And I know people like Sheila and Ruth, you know, at PAG, and people like Beth Gorman at Department of Environmental Quality, they work really hard to get the word out and make sure that we impact that standard and keep the air quality as really as great as we can. So I would think that it's very simply lined out what you can do. You can take your bike, you can carpool, you can vanpool, you can walk. It requires a behavior change. How do you impact that, and what influences people to listen to you and to change their commuting patterns?
That's
What's
really
the magic pill?
I wish I knew of the
magic
pill.
I had
pill,
a magic pill. You could just give it to here. Take this pill and you're on the bus.
Yeah. I think I wish there was a magic pill. I think part of that magic pill, though, is really opening up people's eyes and creating a different picture of awareness. I think when people become more aware of the tools and resources that are available to them, but also the benefits of using alternative mode of transportation, I think some of the barriers start to degrade or erode, and the picture of choosing something different becomes much more positive and a lot more attainable. I think a lot of people are hesitant at first because they don't know all of the tools and resources, or they don't really fully understand how it will benefit them. So I think the first step in getting someone to change a behavior is really acknowledging their fears and their concerns, because when you acknowledge those fears and those concerns, you can start to bring forth the solutions. You can bring forth the benefits. And once people start to understand that making a change with regard to using alternative modes isn't quite as complex as they thought it might be,
right,
and that the value of doing it, not only for our environment and keeping our air quality standards met, but also for them as an individual and for their fellow citizens within Pima County, I think people start to have like kind of a different heart change,
yeah,
if you will.
It starts with awareness,
yes,
making them aware. And it's so funny because I'm sure there's a lot of studies about behavior, because I'm a very social person and extrovert. So I would love to be, if I commuted like I used to for years and years, I'd love to be in a carpool because I'd have a chance to be with people. And then I took the bus for a really long time when I first came here, and it was when I read. So there was no downside whether I wanted to be with people or spend that time. It's a great time, especially in this day and age, to read. And I went to New York last April, and I'll tell you what everybody does on the subways there. They're listening to their podcasts.
Yes.
It's real, and music. You can usually tell if they're listening to music or a podcast based on, you know, their body language.
Right.
So I would think that a part of incentivizing or getting people excited is what I call value added. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to know, well, what's it going to do for my life? What can you do to help me do it? So what kind of value added programs do you provide to employers, mm-hmm, and the resources that get people to get excited or get involved in the programs you offer? I'm sure you offer help.
We do. We do offer a lot of help. So the first thing that I would say is, when working with the travel reduction program employers, those that have over 100 full-time equivalent employees, we really try to connect with them and see where we can help. And that sounds kind of like the obvious, but you have to recognize that each organization kind of has its own culture, its own,
right,
dynamic. They're located in different parts of this great region.
Right.
They have different sizes of employees. Some serve just over 100. Some are serving in the thousands. And then also the way in which they serve our community. So different employers will have different shifts. Some,
right,
will start very early and some will end very late and everything in between. So we have to recognize that not every employer is a 9-to-5 employer. So when you can recognize their differences and really start to understand where they face some challenges, you can come in and bring the right resources and tools. So when we talk to an employer, let's say, for example, that has a myriad of shifts, one of the things that we try to do is really understand the data that we have available to us better so that we can say, you know, using this data, here's what we've identified. And perhaps we can identify through the sharing of data where your employees live in relationship to your site location.
Got it.
And if you have multiple site locations, where is there an opportunity for an employee to be relocated, if you will, to another site location right here in Tucson that now allows them to use a multitude of different alternative modes. Now, instead of being limited, per se, to only riding transit or only being able to drive to work in carpooling, what else can they do? Now they can bike, they can walk, they can take the bus, they can open up their car and turn it into a carpool or a vanpool. So when we allow employees to have more choices, their quality of life, we like to think, improves because it lowers stress.
Got it. Got we all love that. We can all use that.
And also, you know, there's something valuable about peer support, doing something together
yes.
with someone.
Yes.
I mean, you talk about fitness goals, which do tie into alternative modes because you can help meet your fitness goals by using a bike to get to work or walking. But there is value in doing it with someone from accountability and also just shared support. So if you can bike to work with someone, you can walk to work with some, you can ride the bus with someone or just carpool or vanpool, there's something interesting that happens. And you'd be surprised how it helps people get to work on time.
It's that accountability factor with a buddy. I mean, I walked this morning at 7 a.m. and I got news for you. If I wasn't meeting that buddy, mm-hmm. I would have not walked. But it's really that psychology that gets
right.
it going, and you don't want to disappoint someone, but then you get in the habit and it really moves things forward. So it's great to know for employers that are listening to this that there are tools out there mm-hmm. and it's not a cookie cutter. You're looking at their needs, assessing their workforce, mm-hmm. and you're going to come up with solutions about that.
Which and we is can actually bring to the table presentations during their new hire orientations to help their new employees right out of the gate when they're trying to decide how they're going to best get to work on time, regardless
right.
of the shift,
right.
where is there the greatest opportunity for them to get plugged into different alternative modes. We can actually do workshops on different alternative modes, educate people on what it takes to start a vanpool and sustain one. How do you get plugged into being able to bike to work? And where are there safety classes for you to be able to educate yourself on how to prepare for your trip, how to do trip planning. Where do you go on our website to navigate that and plan your trip correctly? And so, you know, encouraging people to use our website, sunrideshare.org. There's lots of great tips there as well. But also, you know, what gear do you need? How do you stay hydrated?
And how do
you pack your work gear? For girls, maybe it's, you know, how do you prevent helmet hair?
That's right. It is a big issue.
But, you know, there are ways to navigate that and still look wonderful for work, but also enjoy the benefits of active transportation.
And so. It really makes sense. And I would think that it would probably ensure more success if it is included as part of orientation for new employees. Because if I'm a new employee and I find out about this, I might find out that my neighbor that is a new coworker lives 6 blocks away. And, oh, wouldn't that be great? Because then I know somebody at work. So there's a lot of sweet spots in that for me. What about, I would assume, since you brought up shift work, the transportation system, it's not perfect. There are, from what I can see, constant improvements. Look at our bike paths. I mean, we've got it going on in terms of bike paths. We have the streetcar, which is full a lot. I'm downtown a lot, and it's like, whoa. So what about people, though, that have a gap? Like, I'm supposed to be to work at 6, but my bus doesn't come till 10 after. How do you help people about that? Are there ways to navigate around that?
There are, actually, and I'm glad you asked that, because one of the things that we do when we look at meeting with the different travel reduction program employers is acknowledging, yes, that they do have shift workers, but also looking who's a neighboring organization. So if you're a big box retailer, for example, and you have a myriad of shifts, maybe there's a smaller organization just across the street from you or maybe a mile down the road. And what we can do is we can look at the data that says, okay, you have X number of employees that are experiencing that challenge, right? They need to be at work before transit would allow them to take advantage of transit. But as does another employer not too far
right,
from you.
Right, got it.
And they also, we also look at where they live, right? What zip code, if you will, that they live in. And where are there opportunities to partner those two organizations together, if you will, in creating van pools and car pools? So maybe you don't have enough employees living in one area to create or sustain a van pool on its own. But if you partnered with neighboring organizations not too far from you, you would have two, three, four,
yes,
five van pools going.
Right.
And so there's those pieces, but also just keeping it small. I mean, if there's opportunities for two or three people to get in a carpool and come to work together, you know, how can we assist with that? I think sometimes people think in order to carpool, it has to be someone that lives in my neighborhood, right? We kind of put ourselves in our own little box.
Right, right.
We forget that there's people on the way to our place of work,
right,
that we can pick up along the way,
right,
and be of service to them because they're experiencing the same challenges. They just don't necessarily live in your neighborhood. And you might not ever have a chance to meet them if it weren't for opening the conversation about carpooling. So we can actually come to that employer and help work out those pieces. And that's what we love to do.
And come up with solutions. I mean, it's like, why share your ride again? There it is. It's, mm-hmm, it can be just, I keep thinking of it, like I said, I think of it from, everybody does, from their own personality. And it's a really, for an extrovert, it's a great idea because you have the whole social component. Mm-hmm. And in the bigger sense, it really does help build community. I mean, there's something about that. And I would think, popped into my head, that it's really a great economic choice, too. So it's great, mm-hmm, for the planet, great for reduction in CO2 emissions, but it's really great to save yourself money on gas and on wear and tear on your car and all of those things. And you talk about stress. I mean, if you're with a group of people, it usually is more, you know, less stressful, mm-hmm, unless you don't like the people in your carpool with and then change your carpool. But I mean, you know exactly,
sure,
what I mean. It's like, let's do this. And it's a lot less wear and tear on a vehicle, which, mm-hmm, is a big expense in everybody's budget.
Right.
Not just gas, but I mean the wear and tear on tires and all of that stuff. So
it is. And we actually help people with kind of matching up with carpooling. So we actually have a whole process about how people can register to carpool. And we ask some questions. Some people are very sensitive to cigarette smoke. So sitting in a vehicle where someone smokes probably wouldn't be a good fit.
Not a good choice.
We help people just really make sure that they are comfortable with who they might be carpooling with.
Yes.
And be able to make an informed choice. And so we help facilitate all that. And I think, you know, when we were talking about earlier, the barriers and misconceptions or even just a lack of awareness, I think one of the biggest hesitations, if you will, for people to consider an alternative mode is the what if factor. What if my child's sick, or what if I get sick, or what if I carpooled with someone, but they have to go home early for some reason. Now, how will I get home? And we have this great program called Guaranteed Ride Home. And if you're registered as,
I love it.
I know. If you're registered as a person who uses an alternative mode, so you're a registered commuter on sunrideshare.org, whether you are carpooling, vanpooling, biking to work, walking, or using the bus, if you're a registered commuter and you elect to be signed up for Guaranteed Ride Home, that means up to four times a year, if something were to happen, an emergency, right? You're sick, your kids are sick, now you don't have a way to get home because the person who you were carpooling with, they left early. Or let's say your boss at the very last moment says, hey, we really could benefit from your help. Could you work overtime today? And your first thought was, well, I'd love to, but how would I get home?
I have no way to get home. That is great to share that,
Janine. Now you don't have to hesitate on that necessarily because you could take advantage of Guaranteed Ride Home up to four times a year. So basically once a quarter, something can happen and you can have that peace of mind that will get you home. It's basically a voucher for a free taxi ride home. But you do have to be a registered commuter and you do have to be signed up for the program. But I think that's just a really great resource for people to be aware of.
And that's something we can't assume because I've done so much work with PAG and I'm familiar with their programs. There is a process to this that we
right.
should talk about a little bit of how people do it And when you're training employers, do you go in and help the employers to train the trainers or their transportation coordinator? You have to be signed up and engaged. And then there are cool prizes throughout the year also for doing good. You reward good behavior.
We do reward that behavior.
And I like that.
I do too. So, you know, everyone likes a good pat on the back, you know, for a job well done.
I don't care who you are.
It doesn't matter if you're 2 or 200. Everyone enjoys some praise and acknowledgement.
Positive affirmation.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so when you log your trips on sunrideshare.org and just acknowledge like, hey, you know, I'd like to share with the world that I carpooled today or I took the bus today, you accumulate points. And through those points, you become eligible for drawings of various prizes, mainly gift cards so that you can redeem them as you see fit. But it's just a great way to show how you're doing your part to keep our air quality where we would like it to be, but also just that you're sharing with others like, hey, you know, it's really not that hard to use an alternative mode. I'm doing it. You know, why don't you join me in doing it? And then get rewards along the way.
The incentive part is so good. I mean, it's ridiculous to even bring this up, but I have that thing for the theater where you go in and they scan your thing and you gain points. And I really don't need a free popcorn.
Right.
But the fact that I have that as a loyal customer, it's like, yeah, sure, I'd like a free popcorn. I mean, it does change human behavior. What is or is it the biggest challenge to reduce the number of single occupancy vehicles and getting more people to think that? I don't think we covered it exactly. How do you go about chipping away at that one person at a time? Because people, especially in this town, I come from a big city area in New Jersey where 90% of us commuted. Mm-hmm. We got a bus, or we got a train, or we drove our car, that 1 mile gap thing, to the train and went into New York City. I mean, millions of people. Mm-hmm. But here, you know, you hear things like, oh my gosh, it's way over on the west side. And it's like, that's exactly 6 miles. But we have this kind of, you know, provincial attitude of, it's so far. Mm-hmm. How do you get people to do that? Because you have a big job, you, Janine, to get employers to shift behavior.
Sure. I think it's just going back to opening up people's eyes and painting a different picture of awareness, if you will. You know, I live on the Northwest side and
way out there, as we say, way out there,
right? Oura Valley or South Phoenix, right? What some people
would say. I make jokes about it and it's not that far.
It's really not that far. And, you know, and I work downtown. So, you know, if I were to calculate my drive time, if you will, it's fuzzy math, about 43 minutes. And I know all the accountants and engineers are cringing right now as I say fuzzy math.
I like fuzzy math.
Fuzzy math, 43 minutes. So when I first thought about riding the bus, I will be honest, I was concerned. You know, what is that going to do to my commute time? How much time is going to be added?
Yes.
And so I did a little bit of research on where I could park my car and what bus stop would be appropriate for me to wait at and which bus I would navigate on and then where it would drop me off downtown, et cetera. All the I's that have to be dotted and T's that have to be crossed.
I love it.
And
we have the example right here.
And I was shocked. I actually had to do it 2 or 3 times because when I calculated my new trip time, it was 45 minutes.
And you're like, this can't be right.
I said, that can't be right. And so I did it again. And it came out the same. And I said, all right, I'm a skeptic, but I'm going to try it. I tried it, and I got to work earlier on the bus than I did driving.
Oh, my gosh.
The bus beats me.
That's
the bus
important
beats me.
To know that.
I know. But see, here's the other thing. And perhaps this will resonate with a lot of parents and grandparents out there. So when my daughter was younger, I think if someone had said to me, what would you give for 5 minutes of peace and quiet? I probably would have given them a $20 bill pretty quickly because there's no escaping little ones, you know,
bless right.
their heart. Sometimes you just need a breather and you lock yourself in the bathroom and you still don't get those 5 minutes.
Right. That's when they come and beat
That's
on the door.
That's when they come on the door.
We talk about that a lot.
Things underneath the door.
They know you're in there.
They know you're in there. So, but I took the bus and I didn't have to drive. I could just relax. I got to listen to music
yes.
that I wanted to listen
yes.
to.
Yes. Yes.
I got to read a book or listen to an audiobook. I got to choose my menu for the week. I had 43 minutes of uninterrupted time to just invest in myself.
I so get it.
And you can't put a price on that. And then on top of it, you know, everyone wants to look for ways to save money. We're all trying to make our dollars go farther, whether it be for our own personal needs or children, our retirement. And when you think about how much money you actually spend on replacing your tires, oil changes, wheel alignments,
all of those things,
gas,
automobile,
all those
maintenance,
add up. And maybe for you, riding the bus every single day to work is not possible today. Maybe it's something you have to work up to. But little by little, it all adds up. One less trip contributes to cleaner air. One less trip by car contributes to less wear and tear on your tires. It prolongs, you know, how long it will be before you have to do another oil change. All those things add up. And a lot of people, if they use the trip calculator on our website, they would be shocked how much money they can save by using alternative modes. So it's just back to awareness, opening people's eyes that, yes, there's great value in being rewarded through gift cards, you know, through logging your trips, but there is also kind of that intrinsic reward, really feeling the benefits of being able to help your fellow man get to work, you know,
yeah, and making quality friends. Of life.
Quality of
when
life.
When you started talking about what you get
stress.
To do on the bus, I'm like, I love it. And, you know, a little sidebar, but very relevant for people like me that are, I work from a home office. It doesn't make sense because I'm going here, I'm going there, I might have five trips. But when I'm going to meet people for lunch or when we're going to a U of A game, let's carpool. Let's take one car instead of four cars because we're all going to go to the same place. And for every game this year, which of course we're talking about that, it's March and it's March Madness, I have to put the Wildcats into every conversation, but just use carpool, and it is that social factor of it's usually a lot more
even
fun.
Even taking your kids to school, you know, help out one of your friends, you know, say, hey, can I take your kids
turns.
To school?
Yes, yes, those things all help. So before we run out of time, which is what happens on Mrs. Green's World Show all the time, we have great content, great stuff, but I want to talk about how do people actually use the TRP? Travel Reduction Plan survey, and how does that help guide the program? Tell us about the survey.
Okay, great. That's a really good question. So the survey is really short and sweet. A lot of people think survey and they think, you know, it's a 52 question borderline exam final at the U of A, but it's not like that. It's really short and sweet. I think most people can finish it in less than 2 minutes. So it's a very simple survey. And basically, if we really want to get to the nuts and bolts, the survey gives us an opportunity to see where the bulk of our congestion patterns, if you will, occur. So if we look at a particular employer and we unearth through the survey that the majority of their employees live in an area where their commute distance is well
right.
over 18 miles.
Wow.
We know right out of the gate that those are the employees that have the highest propensity to be successful in creating a van pool or a carpool.
That makes such sense. I mean, it's like, voila, there's the logic.
Right. And from a retention perspective, if you can help people have some peace of mind and some comfort knowing that getting to work is going to be easier, less stressful, less costly, you can help minimize the risk of people perhaps choosing to go work somewhere else because they feel the stress of the commute every day. They feel the stress of the financial aspect of the wear and tear on their car. So if we can minimize that, we're bringing additional value not only to the employees in their quality of life, et cetera, but also to the employer in terms of recruiting top talent, but also retaining it. Because a lot of people, when they are looking for their next employer, one of their top questions is, you know, how will I get here? What are my options?
And they have that guaranteed ride home.
And they have
we have to talk about
home.
That. So we have
yes.
less than a minute.
Sure.
We have to talk about your social media sites and websites so that we know and we can educate people on how to reach you. I know the Facebook page is Sunride Share, and it has fun and informative infographics, interactive. I mean, it's a fun. I always like when I can get to do it. What is the website? I know the one for PAG Region. Is pagregion.org?
Pagregion.com.
Pagregion.com. Okay.
Yes.
And I think .org works too.
Yes.
But that's really great. And everybody, Colleen Crown and Shield is on March 30th. Clean Fuels, Know Your Options, March 28th. Camila Hernandez and Camila Gratacos, Bio Nurse, Generating Spaces for Life. And There is information about the Air Quality Forum on May 24th. You have got to check it out. PAG is hosting it. Make it a great green day, and time flies when you're having fun.